Well, tonight we turn to John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14, and our text is verse 6, most familiar verse. Jesus saith unto Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We read from Genesis 3 earlier on, and that was the passage which tells us where man lost the way to God. And this verse tells us how man can find the way back to God. This is the sixth of the I Am sayings. You'll remember that there are seven, the perfect number. And in John's Gospel, seven times Jesus said, I am, and then something which meets the deepest need of mankind. The first of those was, I am the bread of life. And that is for those who are spiritually starving to death and only will find satisfaction when they find the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. He is the light of the world in John chapter 8. For those who are spiritually blind to their need and to God, he is the door for those who can see that they are excluded and need a door to come to God. He's the good shepherd for those who are lost but need to be found by one who lays down his life to save them. He's the resurrection and the life for those who the Bible says are spiritually dead until such time as we find life through being born again. But now we come to the sixth, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this is the I am for those who are lost, far from God, and need direction and truth and life. But the first thing that occurred to me in preparing this was a question. Do you want to come to the Father? Do you want to come to him? This verse says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you might well turn round and say, well, that's all very well, but I don't want to come to the Father. A little bit like that woman who was standing at the busy roadside when a well-meaning man came over and saw that she needed to get to the other side, and he took her gently by the arm and said, come with me. And he helped her, guided her across six lanes of traffic, busy traffic, most of whom just pulled up when they saw what was happening and allowed them to cross. And eventually they arrived at the other side of the road, and she said, well, thank you so much, but I was only waiting there for my husband. I don't want to cross the road. She didn't want to come to that side of the road. And there might be those who can hear what I'm saying tonight who just don't want to come to the Father. They're happy where they are. Jesus was well into his teaching of the disciples by this time, by the time he gets to John 14. And he's in the upper room, and it's the night when he is about to go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and once there will be arrested and taken and the next day crucified. And the men he's talking to are definitely those who did want to come to the Father. They had just finished supper, and the Last Supper, the bread and the wine, the breaking of bread, and the conversation had taken a rather intimate tone. Let not your heart be troubled, said the Lord Jesus in verse 1 of this chapter. You believe in God, believe also in me. You might think, well, were these men Christians at all? Were they disciples? Well, yes, they were. They were born again, but they hadn't yet learnt so many of the things that we take for granted. And so the Lord does speak to them sometimes, almost as though they needed to learn it again. And he talks about coming to the Father. They had already come, but now, within the next few weeks, they were going to be preaching this message, teaching it to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the Lord treats them very kindly, and he says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. He's just making sure that they understand that if they believe in God, if they believe in him, then that is believing in God. And he goes on to speak about that later in the chapter. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Whether these are rooms or dwellings, these are places of great delight, which the Lord is preparing. I've told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then it's as though he's leading the disciples on to ask the right question. He says, whither I go, where I'm going, you know, and the way you know. And they sort of did. But Thomas, always the doubter, he comes along and he says to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? To the point. He's quite different from my lady standing waiting for her husband by the side of the road. She didn't want to go where the kind, well-meaning stranger wanted to lead her. But Thomas and the other 10, they definitely did want to go to heaven, to go to the Father, and to know salvation. And so they wanted to be with their wonderful Saviour in heaven. And it gave them the jitters to think of Jesus going away, because he said he was going away. For many, the thought of coming to God, though, is scary. And it's uninviting. They want to get as far from God and the Lord Jesus Christ as possible. They don't want his presence or his dominion. The psalmist in Psalm 139 says, where shall I go to flee from my presence? Well, they're asking that sort of question. How can I get away from God? And this is because these friends, most of society in fact, are at enmity with God. They're enemies of God. Perhaps they hate him. They hate his word. They despise his ways. And they don't want God in their lives. They know God is angry with them, and they're angry with him. There are others who are less angry, and they just prefer to follow the line of the so-called experts. We don't know if God exists, and we're not really interested anyway. We just live our lives the way we are. We don't do any harm to anyone, but we don't really want anyone to point out the way to the Father. They're not that interested. If you are included in either of these, or maybe a third group that think they are Christians and they've gone to church for years and belong to a church, and they go, and because they go and they walk in the door and they sit down, maybe put a few pounds in the collection, they think, well, I don't need to find the way to the Father. I am a Christian. I've always been a Christian. And that's like a third group. Well, whether you're in one of those groups or not, have you come to the Father through Jesus Christ? All I can do is to alert you to the reasons why you should want to be saved, why you should want to come to the Father. One reason is that you will stand before him one day, and you propose to walk through life pretending there is no God to face, no sins to answer for, no judgment of a life lived without God, with no regard for him, pretending perhaps because you went to Sunday school or even attended a place of worship that everything is well with your soul. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you like the ostrich that so many resemble, who chooses to bury its head in the ground? Why does it do that? Well, because I'm told it's because it fondly imagines that if it can't see anybody else, they can't see him. And if we bury our heads in the sand, we can't see God and he can't see us. That's very much the way many people are, I'm afraid. Also, you're missing out. Here's another reason why you should be seeking to come to the Father. You're missing out on the real purpose of life. Choosing not to seek God. When you come to God through Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, your whole perspective changes. You can see where you're going for the first time in your life, what the purpose of life is all about, and you know all your sins are pardoned. There's every good reason for coming to the Saviour, every good reason why you should want to come to the Father and find the way. So the first thing he says is, I am the way. Thomas was hoping for the answers to his two queries. Where are you going and how do we get there? Where? Well, Jesus says, to the Father. No one comes to the Father. That's where I'm going. And that's where you need to come to the Father, through Jesus the Son. How? Well, by me, says Jesus, the living way. There's a story. I don't know how true it is, but I've told it many times, and forgive me if I've told you many times. of a missionary who'd been the means of bringing the good news of the gospel to a certain tribe in South America. And he now wanted to take the gospel to another tribe he'd heard that were in that vicinity, and he wanted to take the gospel to them also. And so the trouble was, no one could tell him where they were. Where did they live? They moved about a lot. They were somewhat nomadic. But there was one man in the first tribe who knew where to find them. He somehow had this knack, and so he met up with our missionary, and they agreed. He said, if you want to find this tribe, you must hold on to me, because I'll be going up hills, down hills, through mountains, rivers. You must hold on to me. If you let go, then you'll never find them. And he did. He held on to the man's arm, and off they went, the most confusing route, across rivers, into forests, round herds of animals, many obstacles, up hills, down into valleys. And one thing our missionary discovered was that the way to this tribe wasn't a line on the map. It wasn't a particular direction. The way was a person. His only way was that member of that first tribe. And when Jesus tells Thomas, I am the way to heaven, he's saying, it's not a line on the map. That's not how you get to the Father. And it's not through doing different things. It's not through being a good person. It's not through having an ever-present record of attendance at your local church. I am the way. You need me. You need Jesus Christ in order to find the Father, to find salvation, to find that fulfillment and that life which means something, and to mean that you are forgiven, pardoned all your sins. You need Jesus Christ in your life, and you have the way to the Father. God hasn't changed. Right from when the world was created, God hasn't changed, but man changed. He created man to know him and walk in a daily way with him. And we've changed. Sin has separated between us and our God. Now you need a way to come back to him. If you were able to come to him with your sins, with no repentance, no faith, no Christ, it would be disastrous for you. You would be swallowed up by his imminence, his power. You need a personal saviour. You need a way. Jesus said, I am the way. You think, well, God loves us, doesn't he? Yes, he loves the sinner. He may love you, but he cannot abide your sin, your guilt, your corruption. That must be dealt with. And on the very next day, after Jesus said, I am the way, Jesus was taken. And according to the will of God, he was nailed to a cross. And there on the cross, God punished the Lord Jesus Christ. He poured out eternal wrath upon our Saviour, his Son. And it was against my sin and yours if you come to him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. By the shedding of his blood, Jesus opened the way. He is the way to the Father for you. He's also the truth. Thomas wanted to know the way, and he received from Jesus the proclamation, I am the way. But Jesus went on, and I am the truth. Because we don't just need someone to help us by telling us true facts about ourselves. We need the truth. We don't just need to learn about God, true facts about God. We need one who is the truth. There are men and women in the world who are truthful. And they hate lies, but they can't bring you to God. You don't need someone that likes the truth or loves the truth, except to point you to the truth. You need the one who is the truth. The Bible tells us concerning God that he hates lies. He loves truth. The Bible teaches us that though we say we love the truth, actually we prefer the lie. The lie that there is no God. It suits us, it's convenient to think that there is no God, therefore none to answer to. The lie that if there is a God, we don't really need him, and we can live without him. That's a lie. That's one of the biggest lies of all, to think that we can actually be independent of God. If God wanted to, he could, without even snapping a finger, wipe us and wash us into eternity. We do need him. The lie that we're safe. And that's dangerous. We're still talking about how we can safely come to the Father. Jesus said, you need the truth. I am the truth. When you come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus and you submit to him, the truth grips you. He is that truth. He alone is acceptable to the Father, for the Father will not accept anything less than the truth, for he is pure truth, and you must come in Christ. Otherwise, you're one who's living a lie approaching the Father. But if you come hidden in Christ, he is the truth who is acceptable to the Father. But then thirdly, Jesus is the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Back in chapter 1, John tells us, in Christ was life, and the life was the light of men. In John 11, Jesus said to Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Basically, Jesus finds us in a condition that he must change if we are to be right with God, if we're to be acceptable to God, to come to the Father. We're lost. No way to him. Jesus said, I am the way. We're living the lie. And Jesus said, I am the truth. And we have no spiritual life. The Bible isn't being derogatory or insulting us when it says that we're spiritually dead. We don't want spiritual life. We don't think we need it, but we do. We've got physical life. Well, that's not going to get us very far. These bodies, this life which lives in these bodies, well, it's not going to be here forever. But the life in these bodies will go on. So when we die, it's only our bodies that die. Our life, we who live in these bodies, go to face God. And the moment you die, the lights go out. And that very moment, the lights come on again in another place. And there you are, standing before the living God in judgment. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You need life, eternal life. The life of Christ in your very soul. John later was to write some letters, three letters at the end of your Bibles. And in the first of those, he wrote these words. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. But he that has not the Son of God has not life. So there is every good reason why you need to come to the Father for forgiveness, for restoration, for a new life. And there's only one way. The people today are telling us that, oh, there are many ways to God. Well, there are, but there's only one way to be saved by God. Only one way to him as the Father to receive you. There are many roads, all of which will lead you to God, to stand before him in judgment. But there's only one way. The road that leads to salvation, the Lord Jesus. You must have him. He is the one that you need to reach out to as he reaches out to you tonight for forgiveness, for restoration, for a new life. Only one way, only one truth, only one life, the Lord Jesus Christ.